Phil Cook and Justin Vernon in the studio in the Opera House. And tell me, was it not the greatest thing just to get up and play two songs at 9:30 this morning?
Man, we've been waking up at 5 every morning, so that was I was waiting around till 9, to be honest.
Yeah, we were ready.
Why have you been getting up at 5?
Jet lag.
Yeah, jet lag.
Okay.
And I just want to see the beautiful city as soon as possible.
Yeah.
The sun comes up.
Yeah. You would have seen this before, though.
I have, but I just like it a lot.
He likes to go to parks and roll around in bushes.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And can I ask, Phil, was that the earliest you've played a Bruce Hornsby in the Range song?
Oh, hell no.
Definitely not. I can speak to that.
Oh, no.
Now, you guys have known each other for many, many years. Mm-hmm. Grew up together. How many bands have you played in? Do you play in together?
Do we currently play in together?
Well, just, yeah, give us the list.
I mean, well, we're playing gangs together, but we haven't played in that for a while.
I usually think about that.
You can count gangs.
I usually thought shouting matches. You know, we play them, and I guess I would say that like we've kind of started a little bit of like the studio work stuff, which I feel like is kind of felt like a band a little bit.
It's been just recently announced that on paper I was producing the new Blind Boys Alabama record coming out in early October, but Phil is kind of my co-producer and lead studio musician guy, and we did it at my house, and we did that most of the winter. So yeah, it's just like Phil and I have been doing different projects for the last few years, and so now we're all kind of taking a breather with those for the moment, and we've just been trying to work together and do as much stuff together as we could.
I'm going to ask you guys about, like, since you have been playing music together for so long, any embarrassing parts of your musical past. But then I heard you, Justin, say that you grew up listening to people like Mississippi Fred McDowell. Were you seriously just listening to great Southern music your whole life?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Our parents were very informative with music, and so blues, jazz, soul, whatever it was coming down the pipeline from our folks. And so when we met, we'd already have a pretty big foundation from when we were little kids, you know.
So there was no time rebelling against that and listening to
not really
pop music?
Our parents are pretty cool.
You guys got lucky.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, we really did. Justin's folks brought him to the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Festival when he was young, you know, like 12, 13 years old. Like, he was going to see some real New Orleans music and stuff. It was pretty cool. Yeah. And, you know, my dad played piano and boogie-woogie stuff when I was growing up around the house, so I really kind of had that. I mean, Justin and I bonded pretty early on within the first, like, couple times meeting each other on music.
And with this Sounds of the South thing, I mean, you guys, of course, very well educated, very well informed, excellent musicians, but let's face it, it's all about the horns.
Mm-hmm. Dude,
those people playing the horns today.
They're amazing. I mean, we did this project for the first time 4 years ago?
2010, September.
But I met Reggie, who plays in part of this group, and then immediately asked him to join my project, Bon Iver. And so that's sort of, there's a swirling sort of family thing happening mm-hmm. here. And whenever I get together with him, it is rare. I mean, there are horn sections all over the place. And there are people that play jazz music, quote unquote, and these guys have it in their blood, and it's real. They are honoring the real thing.
And two guys playing percussion. One guy who looked like he maybe was just sort of having some sort of epileptic fit on the ground.
It's jazz.
Sorry, my mistake. A lot of people on stage, though. You said there's like this gang mentality when you guys are on stage together, which lasts through the night, and the parties must be phenomenal.
It's pretty fun.
Yeah, we got here that first day.
A lot of nerdy jazz talk.
I mean, yeah, that's probably part of it, is that we're all such geeks about even just down to just theory. All right, we're like theory geeks to the point where like we will be like just a group of people in a bar just howling. People are looking like, what are these guys up to? Yeah, we're joking about jazz theory. That's what kind of a sanctuary we've allowed each other, is that we're so safe in this group, and it's just perfect, man.
I had to get out of the bar last night. There was a group of dudes there. What were they, like, fighting? No, it was jazz theory.
Yeah. And they were just slapping their knees, man.
Mostly talking about harmonic structure and those types
of
things.
Yeah, totally. We're not kidding.
I'm gonna play one of the songs right now. This is the one that you sing, Justin. Write these lines down.
Write me a few of your lines.
Write me a few of your lines.
So sure. Fred McDowell song.
We're the ones that trouble down.
All right, on Triple J, I've got Justin Vernon and Phil Cook in from Sounds of the South. We were just listening to one of the songs you guys are going to be performing at the Opera House. How come Australia? You guys have only performed this twice before.
Well, my group had come down here and played here, and I'd met Fergus and Ben.
The Opera House people?
Yep, the people that run the show down here, and they just so happened to be lovers of music. They're going around the world looking for stuff. And so I'd run into him, and he had caught wind of, you know, some of our other friends, the National, have this festival for new music in Cincinnati. And so Ben was there, and he saw it at the second incarnation of this group. And he was just like, this is perfect for Vivid.
Which Bryce Dessner put together that whole festival.
That's Bryce's festival. Yeah. And it was just perfect. I had told Bryce about it. He hadn't heard Megaphone before. And Bryce is an incredible historian, and he has fingered on the pulse. He composes with Steve Reich. I mean, he's very connected and great figure in music these days. And so I told him about it, and he was immediately like, that's perfect for us. I trust you, you know. And they booked it. And Ben saw it, and he just thought it was perfect for something like for Vivid. So, I mean, I don't know. I love it here. It's fun.
Yeah.
And Megaphone's the band which you started, Phil, when you guys kind of split off. And you formed Bon Iver and Megaphone. Mm-hmm. Yep. Now you're sort of back together again, as usual.
Oh, yeah. I mean, things just work like that.
Yeah.
Everything's a vibration, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it is, I'm going to let that slide. But so tell us about where you get these songs from, the Alan Lomax recordings, field recordings from the 50s. Tell us about all that arrangement.
Yeah, and Alan went to the South in the late 40s. And he traveled with an interracial group that was hired by Fisk University, which is obviously an all-black college. Mm-hmm. So they got their papers to go through the South. Now, as you remember, with the Freedom Rides and everything else happening during Jim Crow during that time, it was really dangerous to associate and travel interracially in any part of the South, especially the deep South, rural South. So Alan would have to go into a town, have way advanced notice with the mayor, with the county sheriff, with all these people, and he would have to come in and meet with them, schmooze with them, just to listen to a guy who worked on the railroad sing a song. I mean, and he was thrown in jail. He was, he was harassed.
Yeah,
he was pushed around.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, oh yeah. He really had to go through a lot to actually, because he believed in capturing this music so much and being at the right place in the right time. And I'm reading this book that he wrote, and it's fascinating. But yeah, that's what he did. And so it resulted with this huge collection called, you know, The Sounds of the South. It is now in like some weird copyright limbo, and it's like unreleased and out of print, and I hope they figure that thing out.
And you've taken those sounds, and then you're saying like you've added so much to them. A lot of them were just guitar and singing. So you've had to reimagine them. How did you go about doing that?
Well, I mean, I came in kind of after the fact. Our first two incarnations is our friend Sharon that also sang.
Sharon Bennett.
Yep. She's fantastic, obviously. She couldn't be with us. But we got Frazee Ford from the Be Good Tanyas, who's unbelievable, singing with us now. But they Megaphone, Fight the Big Bull, they did an amazing job at taking these simple songs, sometimes just a cappella. There's no accompaniment at all, and creating Pan-American influence from every decade of music traditions up there and creating kind of a new palette to view these songs through. It's been pretty fantastic to watch them do that.
And now you get to show them off to Australian audiences.
That is like, pretty fortunate sounding.
Didn't you spend, Justin, your entire trip to Australia rather busy answering fan emails?
Yeah, it was really fun.
What was the sort of stuff you were getting?
Just like questions, like what does this song mean? Or like, what do you think I should do about my dad, like, not wanting me to go to law school or stuff like that?
What did you answer? What did that song mean?
They would just ask me about what random songs of mine or even not mine, and I don't know. I rarely get the chance to talk to everyone, and I was sitting on a flight, and so it made sense to sort of see if people wanted to ask me anything, and I had nothing else to do. So,
did anyone ask you about, we've been playing, and Police, your mates, of course, in Gangs, we've been playing that song Tiff, which you sing on. Did anyone ask you about that in the emails? And if not, can I ask you about that? How did that happen?
Well, those guys are all, you know, all the Police guys are all guys that we've also known for a long time, and Tiff just kind of came together. They've recorded it at our spot, and I was hanging around, and I was like, oh, they asked me to come sing on it. So I'm glad people are getting something out of that tune.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to ask one more thing from Twitter. Diplo thanked you, Justin, for the ride to L.A.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any more to that story?
No, man. We just went to a gas station, got some soda pop, and talked about basketball for 2 hours.
She shit, yeah. We got all the scoops here on Triple J.
That's right.
That's right.
That's why you guys are the hot business.
I'm talking to Phil Cook and Justin Vernon in the country for Sounds of the South. We're also, you guys are archiving music as we speak. This whole thing is a giant archive. At the moment, Triple J is looking back at 20 years of music that in the Hottest 100, we've been doing Hottest 100s every year for 20 years now. People are voting this week. In fact, voting closes on Sunday. Justin, you've been in the Hottest 100 before. Skinny Love might do quite well.
Again?
Yeah, this can be any song released after 1993, the 1st of January 1993.
Damn.
Do you have any, like now, it's been a while, any thoughts of that? That was the first song we started playing. I remember you came in for Like a Virgin just, you know, very soon after that song sort of hit the airwaves.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking back on it now, any thoughts about it?
So many thoughts. I can't even begin to unravel all of them.
Like, we're talking about you as a community musician, but that was you know, cooped away in the woods.
Yeah. Well, you're never cooped away in the woods by yourself. You got Phil sitting next to me. He's definitely my musical brother, my musical teacher, biggest mentor I've ever had in music. I've shared more musical experiences with Phil than anyone else. So even when I was, you know, poking around out there in the woods, never alone, you know. And I remember playing that record for Phil. He was one of the first people I played it for, probably the second person, first being my dad. And that's what I mostly cared about, you know, to see what he thought and what he'd get out of it. But
when you did hear Skinny Love, when Forever Emma Forever Ago was played to you, Phil, do you remember? You were the second person to hear it, what you thought.
Man, anytime Justin showed me, I mean, anything, it's just, I know the music so deeply already that when he plays it for me, it's like, I think I already knew it, you know, like the whole last record, like when he played it for me and when I listen to it still, it's just like my history has the same map in this weird way where I just feels like it's coming from inside of me. I'm Justin's biggest fan, you know, and just don't get to tell him that, you know, as often as I do. But my son knows Justin's music. You know, we listen to it all the time together. And like, I make music and be like, what would Justin want to hear at this part? Or what would happen there? And I know he does the same thing. You know, we think about them being there and making it with you and like, what would happen here?
So what are you doing? You're here doing this now. You're back together, making music together. You're working on the Blind Boys of Alabama. What's next? Is there any sort of more originals?
Oh, we got ideas.
We got tons of ideas.
We got a lot of ideas.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Where are we heading?
Oh, we can't tell you, but we're going to definitely, but we got some irons in the fire. Just like, you know, we're all going to cross our fingers.
Got to dot some I's and cross some T's. Sort of enigmatic points you want to make.
You only live this life once, man. And like, you know, we're out here and I don't know, man. It's just weird to be, you know, just riding in cars when you're 16 and just listening to music and just have all these dreams. And then you're like in your 30s and sitting in the Sydney Opera House. I mean, there's a lot of parts of us that have to like go back to our 15 years old selves and get punched in the gut. Like, it's pretty awesome. Like, I mean, you have to like stop and look at that, you know, at any point in time, but as long as you're on the path, just keep going, man. You got to keep stretching yourself and trying to find new paths, you know?
Yeah, well, we got some Shouting Matches shows coming up, basically.
Oh, yeah.
That's what you're saying. You're the band Shouting Matches.
That's what we can tell you.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, dear. Well, Phil and Justin, thanks heaps.
Thanks so much, guys.
It's the Doctor on Triple J.